Bad Motivators.
Shit. Yes.
What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 209 of the Bad Motivators. I, of course, am Eric Strothers, and with me, as always, is one of my excellent co-hosts, one Mr. Luke Cruiser.
Hey there.
Dallas couldn't join us today. He was at a rapist convention, honing his skills, you know, behind the mic and rhyming and whatnot. No, man, he's got a...
Just spreading love of cracker rap.
Yep, he is. He's taking it, taking his act on the road, sponsored by Wonder Bread. So... But no, seriously, man, he's got a thing that popped up just at the last second, so we're going to miss him, but we're going to just power through because, I mean, we got a lot of Star Wars news to talk about, and we'll try...
Sorry, man, I can't even
say it with a straight face, but yeah, man, there is some crazy stuff. Like a couple days after we recorded last week, there was a thing that later became another thing, so that's kind of a thing.
Lots of things.
Today, a journalist, right before we started recording, tweeted about another thing that's a thing that used to be a thing, but we weren't sure if it was still a thing, but now it's a thing.
Lots of things.
But a cruiser, you doing good, man? How's the weather over there?
Everybody's favorite discussion, the weather. It is snowing like a son of a bitch. We got about probably 8 inches of snow today. And I think right now it's drizzling a nice little bit of ice on top of it. So that's nice. Everybody's favorite thing, but it's not nearly as bad as what's going on. One of my really good friends named Frank, I play Xbox with him. He lives in Austin, Texas. And they are getting absolutely screwed with snow and ice right now, and they have no way of dealing with it.
Yep.
And I was talking to him, and he said all the roads are closed. I said, sweet. He's like, yeah, we can't go anywhere. And he said the power companies keep turning off the power to places because they're saying because of an overage of power because nobody can go anywhere. I'm like, oh, so it's freezing, and they're shutting off the power to people who pay for it. That's cool. And he's like, yeah, it's some corporate bullshit right there. I'm like, all right. And also, he goes, I said, so there's not one truck anywhere that has a plow. He's like, nope. I'm like, so they're not bringing any out-of-state help? He's like, nope. I'm like, so you got to just wait till it melts? He's like, yep.
I'm like, yeah, man. I lived in Atlanta for a year when I was young, and they had the snow there. I mean, and it was on the news. Like, people are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it, blah, blah, blah. And school was canceled for several days.
Yeah.
And just because they didn't have the infrastructure to deal with it. And well, I was in El Paso, Texas, a couple days after Christmas, a couple years ago, doing a rock show, and it snowed while we were there, and we barely made it home.
Yeah.
They just didn't know what to do with it.
It's just so crazy when you live where we live, you know, which is not nearly the coldest places on the country, but I mean, still we still get, you know, heavy winters. It's crazy. We're just so used to having snow plows and like preemptive, laying down salt or sand or something, you know. We're just so used to it. We take it for granted. And you just never imagine what's like. What do you mean they don't have a plan? We don't have a plan for this, you know. I mean, Austin, Texas got like 8 inches of snow and then a layer of ice on top of it, and they're just like, I guess we're just gonna stay here.
Yeah,
we're not gonna move.
Good thing we practiced up during the pandemic to learn how to sit still.
Yeah,
man, it's pretty wild here. The temperature is very low, single digits, water lines freezing, that whole bit, and. Yeah, it's snowing pretty good. We got the call earlier that the kids are definitely not having school tomorrow, which is fine. It's whatevs. I have not been outside at all today, so that's been pretty great. I looked out the window a few times. That was good. And yeah, that's what's happening. But man, to anybody, I hope everybody's just staying safe. I know that's got to be very difficult. And
That's funny you say that. Like, I have my little all-wheel drive Mini Cooper, right? And it loves to play around in the snow. It's just made for it. And my wife is like, when I was leaving today to go with Smart, she's like, be careful in the snow. I said, I will. And then like she's like, look, I know you're going to whip around corners. There's just don't do donuts anywhere in the middle of the road. I'm like, okay. And so like I sent out a tweet earlier where I said that exact same conversation, and I put a gif of this rally car drift around a corner in the snow. I'm like, also me going around the corner. Because anywhere I find, and like especially my little neighborhood, you've been where I am, there's lots of street turns in my neighborhood, and there's an old people area with this like big like elbow turn. I'm like,
dude, it's one of those things you never outgrow with it being
it's so much fun because there's never like really any cars going through there at all, let alone when it's snowing. That whole area looks like it's a place made up to be like a, this is where we're gonna showcase where we drop nukes. This is what a town looks like, because there's no cars out up front. Nobody, never see any people anywhere.
Well,
it's weird.
Yeah, I did not get out at all, and that's my plan for tomorrow too. So we'll see how that goes, man. Amanda may have to go to work. That's a bummer, but I'll stand at the door and wave to her. Bye, bye. I'll miss you.
Be so safe,
dude. She has to go in and out to the parking lot because they're doing curbside at the vet clinic. Ugh. Anyhow, you know what we should do, man? Because I bet this is going to be an exciting edition of this one right here. Let's do this thing right now. Well, sir, do you have a what that you want to be the who for?
I got a whole lot of nothing. How about you?
Oh, buddy. Same.
Oh,
same
nice.
Here. Yep. A huge whiff, a swing and a miss for who got what this week. One thing I did get that I will throw out there, and not only did I get it, but the world got it, is the new recording of Love Story by Taylor Swift because of the whole debacle with her record label, her former record label. They own the masters. Mm-hmm. She's going through and re-recording the entire albums.
That's what I thought you should do anyways.
Yeah. And it's like you've got, to me, the instrumentation sounds identical.
Yeah.
And just her vocal take is different, which I'm like, yeah, I kind of thought you'd do a little bit more than this. But it's cool to hear how much her voice has matured.
Yeah.
You know, how much more refined it is. But anyway, yeah, single dropped, and that's great. And pre-orders for the album, that'll be the exact same songs as the original one, but they all say Taylor's version in parentheses after the songs. And of course I bought it. And now I just find out there's a Target exclusive one.
Oh, God.
So of course I'll buy that, but that's it.
God, that lady is a money-making machine.
Dude.
She's got it all figured out. She's making like COVID albums. She's releasing her own old albums, just re-recording them, sending them out. Just give me the dollars.
So that's something too, by the way, I just want to mention with the COVID records. When she released that second one, Evermore, I'm like, I don't know if I dig this as much. At first I wanted to assume it was songs left over that didn't make the cut on Folklore. Mm-hmm. But dude, it is a fantastic album. Like there's more pop elements to it. There's some electronica stuff. There's two songs in 5/4, which is like this real jazz time signature. Because if you don't know what that means, it's like normally it'd be 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. Well, this is, it feels like 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 1 and 2 and 3. It's all disjointed feeling, but it like makes sense for the song. It's not like it's a dream theater and where they're doing it because they can. It's a good stinking record, man. I couldn't imagine working with people that talented and that prolific. It's like the Stephen King of songwriting.
Well, just think about who she has access to, like anybody. Like anybody would work with her. Like I was listening to, I don't know why I keep promoting the show, but I just love it so much. The Conan O'Brien's podcast, Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. Mm-hmm. He had Dave Grohl on today for his podcast.
Nice.
And like just to hear Dave Grohl just like, I mean, he's very appreciative of everything, but hear him casually mention being able to work with like the people he's worked with over the years. Like he's like, yeah, I've got to jam with them a couple times, and like he's like I jammed with Paul McCartney once or twice for these one of things, and like he's going with this, and like, and then you know, you can talk about how great it was being Nirvana, and about how long he's been doing this thing, and how about like his like he went and saw a punk band when he was 13, and he's applied that mentality to every show he's ever had ever. Like it's just hear his whole thought process and like still be a genuinely good person. Like I imagine Taylor Swift is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's just it's crazy to see the people who just like genuinely love something so much that they can't stop.
Yeah.
And that, they won't stop. It's
that crazy. Is something we were just talking about on the Sith List last week, because the nominees for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame came up, of which the Foos are on there. And that was the thing I was talking about with Dave Grohl. Is here's a guy who's done all this stuff, but he's still completely in love with it.
Yeah.
And man, that is really cool, because when people are passionate about something, we've talked about that before, man. If somebody's passionate about something, you can get a lot out of watching what they do, even if you're not into it.
Mm-hmm. I just had a blank moment. What was... Cause that's the second time he's been put into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, is for once for Nirvana and now Foo Fighters. Mm-hmm. So did Paul McCartney, did he get in for Wings as well? Did they get in there?
You know what? I do not know. Fake rock guy right here.
Well, I mean, I was never the biggest Wings fan as it is, but I mean, I just assume that he probably did, because he's just Paul McCartney. Like, well, yeah, we'll get you in there twice for sure. Regardless, I'm sure Wings sold a whole bunch of albums, but I was just curious. There was something else I was thinking about. I can't remember what it was. Carry on, man. I'm sorry.
Well, so apparently Dave was on, or actually the Foo Fighters maybe as a whole were on Howard Stern. My buddy Tracy was telling me about it, and he was talking about being with Paul McCartney. And anyway, long story short, he's at this party and he had gotten high, and Taylor Swift was there, and they had a piano, and she started playing a song, and it was, I think it was probably like Everlong. It was a Foo Fighters song.
Yeah.
And he's like, was just, I can't believe this has happened. And here she's playing the piano beautifully, playing this tune. And they're like, go sing with her. And he's like,
What? It's your song, man.
Yeah, like, dude.
Get in there.
Oh my gosh.
I remember what it was. Did you know that girl? She's probably like 10. She's British, and she has a lot of viral videos of herself drumming. And she's like,
yes.
Did you see the one that the videos that Dave Grohl did with her?
Yes.
Oh my God, that's such like, it's so like heartwarming. Like he would like challenge her to do stuff, and she would do it. And then she would send a challenge back to him, and he would do it. And they'd go. It was just, I don't know, dude. That's like some of my favorite moments during this lockdown. Is that those their little back and forth, like. This has been a horrible time for a lot of people, but like it's allowed for little moments like that where like the people have no choice but to sit down and like try to find ways to like get together and do things. And it's just it was really, I don't know, it was really, really cool to see that. And you know, that had to make that girl's life. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, dude.
It just one of the biggest, most successful rockers of all time. It's like, I want you to do this and do it good. Yeah, get it, girl. You know, it's just so awesome. And you know, and Taylor Swift sending like out like sweaters and shit to all her big fans and all that kind of stuff. Like, it's just, I don't know. Like celebrities get a lot of shit, and deservedly so a lot of times, but like there's some really good ones out there.
Oh, sure, man. Absolutely. Yeah, and you know, that's something too, man. I played guitar at church this past weekend again, and I'm like, you know what? Maybe I still like doing this.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I shouldn't say it like that. Of course, I love playing guitar, but, you know.
It's still your job, you know what I mean? Like,
you gotta deal
with all the behind-the-scenes stuff and everything else, and, you know, and sometimes that hampers the part you went there for to begin with, you know, just kind of how it works. But
yeah,
it's got to feel good that you still feel that fire for it, you know?
Well, and whenever I'm at home and I decide I'm going to bust out my guitar, I always end up having a good time. Yeah. But I just, it's something I need to do more of. But so, okay. Let's talk about what's shaken in Star Wars right now. And what's shaken in Star Wars right now is that 2 days after we recorded last week, which would be the day the episode came out, there was some news regarding one person who was on The Mandalorian that they were... I'm being stupid. Gina Carano, it was announced that she is not in the employ of Lucasfilm, nor do they have any plans to employ her in the future.
Not only that, but her agency dropped her.
Yeah.
And they have removed any future toys they had, like any like Hasbro just like threw away the mold on her toy. So I mean, it's like a lot of people are getting like who had pre-orders for her, like because that figure, her Black Series, was hard to get for a while. And so there's a bunch of back orders up. They're starting to be filled out or whatever. And now they're like, nope, you're not getting those. Sorry, here's your money back.
Yeah. And, you know, it's about time, I guess, what I would say. But in typical fashion, there's just the double down. And if you want to see what the whole thing was about, go check out Twitter. There's no need for us to rehash all that for you. But... not surprisingly,
it was brutal.
Yet disappointingly.
Yeah.
There are, so like YouTuber of great fame, Doomcock, our pal and yours. God, what a crappy name. Says that Disney is considering walking back their decision based on fan outrage over what has happened to Gina Carano. And, there has been a little bit of noise about, you know, free speech and blah and blah blah. And don't get me wrong, free speech is, of course, it's a thing. But when you work for somebody, there's just certain things you have to do to hold up your end of the bargain. I work at a church.
Yeah.
If I can't just post whatever I want on social media and not expect it to have some sort of effect on my employment. That's just not how life works.
Oh, we were talking about that before the show about me wanting to change my Twitter handle because of future employment and stuff like that. It's just like you have to expect that all that stuff. If you put it out there, people will use it to determine your character. I mean, it's just. I don't know, dude. I don't mean to interrupt you necessarily, but like it's just like I don't for one thing. There was so many things she said that were just abhorrent that she did that she should have been stricken down from before. My guess is they would have done something about it, or maybe they're hoping it would just kind of go away.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, during when The Mandalorian was going on, they didn't want to make a big fuss about it, you know, until after the season or whatever.
Uh huh.
But I don't know. They're kind of making the sound now that like that Rangers show wasn't going to be about her, but I'd be surprised if that's true.
So, Luke, I saw a thing, and now, of course, I don't see where I saw it. But I feel like it was a quote, not like sources say that blah, blah, rumblings, that it was a direct quote from her. But it was something along the lines of she was given something by Lucasfilm to say whenever the whole crapping on people for having their pronouns in the thing. Uh-huh. That she was giving something to say and she declined to say that and instead said something else.
Yeah.
And of course she's painting it now as it wasn't about people using pronouns. It was about the bullies saying that you better put pronouns in your Twitter bio to show support, blah, blah, blah. And whether that's what she really meant or not, none of that matters.
She said that before, though, mm-hmm. when it first happened. She said that.
But after the fact.
Well, no, I mean, like people were like, people were like telling her that she needed to do it or whatever. That's from before I remember seeing, like, people were telling her she needed to do it, and she didn't say anything, and then she changed her pronouns to the beep bop whatever, and then she said something about it's not that I have anything against transgender people, it's that I don't like being bullied. Something like that. She said that before, and then Pedro Pascal had that talk with her about like what it means to people to have their gender preference respected and stuff like that, you know. And she was just kind of like blew it off into the beep boop thing again and whatever else. So like, right. it's been a roller coaster, and she's just been a dick about it. So
I mean, but what I read was that they told her to say this. She decided to say something different, and she has not had any communication with them since. And that she found out she got fired at the same time the rest of us did on social media. So that's there you cool. have it. And man, oh man, things sure have a way of happening, I guess.
It's just like we always say it's freedom of speech. Yeah, like you're not going to go to jail for comparing conservatives' plight to the Jewish people in the Holocaust, but you can definitely lose your job because of it. Like that's not losing your free speech. You practice your free speech, and then it had consequences. Like but the consequence wasn't you losing your freedom. The consequence was you losing your job. I don't understand why people can't wrap their heads around the fact that freedom of speech doesn't say whatever you mean without consequence. I don't understand why that's such a understanding. Like you can't walk up to your teacher in high school and say, you big fat fucking bitch, and then you're not going to back but get in trouble for it. Like, I don't understand. Right. I don't understand. It's just, it's and then the fact that she's going to turn around and team up with
Ben with, Shapiro.
Shapiro, yeah. and we're going to immediately make probably the worst movie of all time. Guaranteed, it's going to be just the shittiest thing we've ever seen. And like, they can't cancel us; we don't let them or something. It's like, is this really how you want to be remembered? Is that really like you had this awesome role in The Mandalorian? People like, especially in the first season, people really loved you. You were like beloved, and like, and then you had to turn around and just show your ass and show how much of a piece of shit you are. And like, I mean, I guess, you know, I'm glad she did, because they got fucking rid of her. You know, at least she wasn't hiding in the shadows about it. Like, okay, I see you respect nobody but yourself. So I guess see you later, you know, and he's spreading anti-mask propaganda and spouting all these freedoms bullshit. Like, I just, it's just so sad, dude. Cause I remember we were so like happy for her in the first season, and like she had, and now we had this like really strong female character that the like little girls could look up to and like all this stuff. And then she just had to completely take a shit on all of it. Like, it's just so sad.
Yeah. And the whole thing's a shame, man. It really is. And you know, with her to take on my voice is now I'm more free than I ever have been. So on and so on. It's like, okay, so just expect some really great stuff coming down the chute. What I hope will happen is that she goes away and goes away fast. Now, here's the thing, though. This is where it falls into people they overestimate what their circle of influence is, right? Because for us, we assume, and I think that's probably fairly accurate, that the bulk of people in the fandom, either deep in the fandom or on the outskirts of the fandom, would say she was wrong in this case, right? Yeah. But the people who think the other way are convinced that it's the majority. They're the majority, and that most people think that Lucasfilm sucks and this SJW agenda of a few is wrecking it for the many and all this stuff. And I had a guy this week comes up to me and he goes, so what do you think about what how did he phrase it? And because I knew his stance on it just from the way he phrased it, what Disney did to Gina Carano. And I said, oh man, I think it's about time, blah, 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 blah. And I could see his face, like that one eye twitching.
Yeah.
And it's like
the color leave his face.
Yeah. But you know, it's, so who knows? Who knows? Maybe Disney is, or Lucasfilm is going to walk that back. Maybe. I don't know. But
no fucking way. This is not a James Gunn situation where he made some really bad jokes and statements 10 years ago in tweets and then apologized them for about 5 years later. And then people dug them back up again. And then mm-hmm. Disney's like, well, we got to let you go. And then they realized, you know, you actually did atone for all this shit. Maybe we should say that forgiveness is still a thing.
It's more than people saying sorry.
Yeah. What? Yeah. And you know,
what a great movie. Oh yeah. My gosh, what a great movie.
But like something like that, that's one thing. But to be told that, like, hey, like this is going to affect your career with us if you continue down this path and you just keep doing it. And they warned her. They warned her by giving her what to say. She's like, no, fuck you. And you know, I guess she stuck to her guns. I don't know. But like, what I am happy about is all around good guy, Pedro Pascal and his success and how much more farther and farther it's climbing. And the fact that he's getting the lead in The Last of Us on HBO is the coolest thing ever, and it makes so much sense, and they just need to keep putting Pedro Pascal in everything.
That is pretty dope, man, because you know you guys talked about how great that was, and
oh man, that story's gonna be great
to hear it's like, oh, I like him a lot, man.
Yeah. And then to hear his sister sing his praises about how much of a overwhelming comfort and assurance and how supportive he was of her transition and like all that stuff, like so you can see how Gina Carano behaved had to impact him, because I mean he's directly affiliated, I mean, and he supports wholeheartedly his sister who transitioned to a woman, like I mean, and for to see somebody just cast it aside as if it means nothing and you have to work with that person and everything else and then try, like you could see on some level he was trying to make it work for professional mm-hmm. reasons with her. Mm-hmm. And I saw somebody say, because he used to follow her, I saw somebody post Pedro Pascal follows Gina Carano, and as soon as that news released, he was not following her anymore.
Well, and I just want to be clear, man. And then we can go on. But anybody is welcome to say whatever they want. But you just can't pretend like there's not going to be repercussions professionally. That's just not how life works. And it's never going to be how life works. You can't expect a company to take damage to their brand just to support your right to say whatever you want. That's just not realistic. And, but you know, having said all that, I get not understanding an issue.
Yeah.
But to just be, to not understand, but then just be a turd about it. Mm-hmm. But regardless, man, whatevs. So she's out.
No,
and
you're right. No.
Here's
right.
What I would like to see happen. And I know this might sound petty, but buddy, I'm been the master of petty lately, apparently, according to my daughter.
Well, she would know. She's the master of petty herself.
Dude. Oh, my God. Hang on. I'll come back. I'll circle back around to that. Just bookmark that page real quick. So, okay, where was I going with it then? Because now that totally threw me off. Oh, what I would love is if they just unceremoniously recast her without a blink of an eye. No press release, no nothing. Just suddenly there's a new actress portraying the part. And that's that, because what that shows is here's how little you mattered.
Yes.
You know?
And I am completely team Lucy Lawless. I'm completely team her being becoming Cara Dune. That would be great. You see that all that shit go
yes.
down?
Yes, and that'd be great too. Is if it turned out that she had a long lost husband, and it was Ron Swanson.
Yes,
that would be
you bring him in there, and they just call him Swanson. They don't change his name. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Because you know about the whole feud Lucy Lawless has with Kevin Sorbo, right?
Yes.
And all their bang back and forth, and how they used to work together, and now she's like, oh man, you just disappoint me so bad, and people were tagging her and like, hey, it'd be so odd. Hey, there's an opening on The Mandalorian, you should do it, whatever. She's like, no, I'm really hold my breath out for the God Is Not Dead second sequel. I'm really holding out for it, so I don't know which Kevin Sorbo is a part of.
Right? Yeah, he was it. Yeah.
She's so good, and but even different, like, even she would actually be fantastic in that role.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean? I mean, and not even because she's been a badass, but because she has the right demeanor for something like that.
Yeah, and she has the right presence for it.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, and plus she's just the best. Yeah. So I mean,
so okay. So, let's go back to this petty part. Number one, okay, we watched Uncle Buck, and the kids had never seen it before, and we're watching it, and I'm like, man, the teenage daughter, real angsty. I said, she reminds me of somebody, and Stella's like, it's me, isn't it? And I said, well, Stella, no, you've got blonde hair, and that girl has dark hair. And Stella said, I'm talking about the attitude. And I'm like, well, I guess I hadn't really noticed, but now that you say it, yeah. Well, so at least you're aware of the issue, right?
God.
But okay, so I got to check this out. And this is one of those things. Remember the story I told you about when we went to see Captain Marvel, and the guy was out in the lobby causing a scene with the management, and I said something to the guy, and he like wants to come over and get in my face. Do you remember me telling you about that?
Mm.
Yeah. So we go see Captain Marvel. The kids go into the bathroom.
Oh, the drunk guy.
And he's cussing up a storm. And I said, and the thing is, I don't care, but I just wanted to care that day. I'm like, hey, man, don't cuss in front of my kids.
Yeah.
Here comes the guy. And I looked back and thought, man, I should have beat that guy down so that my kids would have been like, ooh. Yeah, I better not ever mess with the old man. But
old man's got moves.
Yeah. But what happened was I'm playing Red Dead Redemption, and some dude, some rando, like other player, comes up and just blasts me in the face when I'm trying to... No, I think he stabbed me when I was trying to wave at him. He pulled me off my horse and killed me. And I accidentally hit parlay, which gives you 10 minutes if you can't attack each other. But it didn't matter because the guy like fast traveled to some other part of the map. And once they're a certain distance away, you can't see them on the map anymore.
Oh, no.
But what you can do is go into the list of players in the lobby, view their gamer card. This is on Xbox. And if they have their privacy settings set to where you can see them online, it will tell you roaming in Blackwater. And I'm like, target acquired. And I spent the next 15 minutes chasing this person. They have no idea, but I keep checking. And it's like, well, it says they're here. And I'm going all over. And then, well, what the heck? Now they're over here. And I'm zipping around. And Stella's like watching all this unfold. And she's like, Dad, you're sure putting a lot of effort into, you know, finding this guy. I think maybe you should just let it go. And I'm like, oh no, no. And she asked me why. And that's when I said that line, vengeance, thy name is Mouse Rat. And I found this dude and came around a corner and just shotgun in the face 15 minutes later. But I wanted to make the point that, see, I may not get you in the moment, but I won't forget. And I will get you. Yeah, she was appalled by my behavior.
Like, your dad is an elephant. Understand?
That's right. I may operate slowly, but man, I'm like a freight train. I never forget, and I'm hard to stop. Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
it was something, man. It felt so good. It was
That's epic.
It was very much one of those, you're getting ready to pay for everything that's wrong in my life right now today. And it's mostly my kid.
I can just imagine him just being like, what the fuck? Why is this guy? He killed me. Why did he kill me?
Do you remember me? Mouse rat, number sign 2217. Remember?
There's a TikTok, like there's like TikTok trends, right? And one is one where this dude shows up to his girlfriend's house and his son's there and her son's there playing video games. And and he's like, oh, hey, what's up, sport? How are you doing? He's like, don't call me sport. He's like, okay. And he says, well, how about this? I forget what the name is. It's like King Slayer 23. Uh-huh. And the kid turns to him and looks at him. He's like, I've not gone by that name for years. He's like, exactly. He's like, you drop shot me 10 years ago in Halo 3. And I told you I'd fuck your mother. And here I am.
Oh my gosh, dude. Oh. Yes.
It gets me every time. I've seen like six different times people do the same thing, the same audio and everything. This gets me cuz like the kid's face is always like, "Oh no." And the guy's like, "Yes."
Oh my gosh, dude. That is so good. That is so good.
You drop shot me 10 years ago. I said I'd fuck your mother.
Oh my god. Okay.
That's the long con right there.
So by the way, man, I had a couple people reach out about getting together for some Red Dead time, man. So now I've just got to try to set up a time. If anybody else is interested, man, hit me up on Twitter, add me on Xbox. It is MouseRat hashtag 2217. That is my Xbox Live name. Look me up and we'll posse up and we'll do some cowboy stuff.
Oh, that reminds me. I played with he used to be a patron of ours, but he told me he couldn't do anymore because he had all these subscriptions and his wife was like, what the hell are you doing? So he had to like cut him off. A friend of the show, Corey Pope, we played several games of Warzone the other day. It was a lot of fun. He's a really funny guy. Like he reminds me of like you, like how you used to be towards me in Dallas before you got to know us. You know what I mean? Like nice and caring and whatever. And then he's like complimenting and stuff. And I'm like, oh, just wait till you get to know me, man. You're going to be hating and cussing me out just like Eric does.
You're going to be just like Strahler's, just worn down. You just,
just ruined. Nope,
can't do ruined. It anymore. That's it. That's all there is.
But no, we had a lot of fun. He's a good dude. So Corey, I know you're listening, buddy. I had a lot of fun. We should do it again.
Yeah, we've been playing with Dave Strutt, and you know, I think because he's an Englishman, we get picked on a lot by Rockstar Games. They just hate the English, and yeah, it's because of him, and he's aware of it. So it's yeah, good that he knows. But
he should know.
So check this news out, man. As a matter of fact, Cruiser, you're the one who told me about it. So why don't you tell us what to check out right before the show started?
Well, and despite King Tom's snark on the subject, which I will not bring up because screw you, Tom. That's right. No king for you. Even though I just said
he's it just ago. Tom.
Yeah, he's just Tom to me now. I believe it's Soraya Wilson. She's a USA Today bestselling author. She had an interview with Rian Johnson. I think she did an auction for it. Like I think he was doing like something for charity, and like if you had the highest bid, you got to have an interview with him for like an hour or something. And so she did, and of course, she was public about it on Twitter that she was doing it. So everybody's gonna be like, you need to ask him about his trilogy and find out right now, and he better give you an answer. Don't take no for an answer. I remember seeing all that. She's like, okay, and and according to her, which I've not seen the interview yet. She said, I'm just going to post this now because you can check it out at Soraya Wilson on Twitter, because I'm just going to post this now because I can see that I'm going to get a lot of requests. Yes, Ryan's Star Wars trilogy is still on. No dates or timelines because he has other projects going on, but it is happening. And she goes, that is all I know about it, in all caps. So
that is sweet news.
Good to hear, man. Good to hear.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that guy is a delight.
Speaking of good people, Jesus.
Yeah. I still regret not getting his autograph, but
yeah.
I loved The Last Jedi. I mean, I get why people have its problems. That's neither here nor there. But as far as being a movie goes, it's fantastic. And then, like, Knives Out is...
Oh, my God.
...is brilliant. I mean, it is epic. That is going to be one of those films that's going to go down in history. Yeah.
It has one of the best assembled cast you're ever going to see in a movie. Like, that cast is incredible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And Daniel Craig as a detective, don't get me started, dude. Like, that's... so good. But anyways, I'm going to talk about Knives Out, but he's genuinely the best person, and the fact that he's just been like shat upon by a portion of this fandom is crazy. But like they hear the news that it's still happening and like there's no timeline, whatever, that's fine. And you know, I don't know if I can't remember what you've said about it, but personally, I've said a lot of times that I feel like it's not happening anymore because they've not, which you can't really fault me for, because they've not talked about it in forever, and they keep announcing other projects. It's like, oh, I guess he's just slowly getting pushed back, and you know. But then, you know, if you sit back and think, there's a few things that I'm dealing with in my head. Either one, they've just not openly discussed whether or not it's happening with them for a long time. This is like, because like, hey, you got stuff going on, we got all this other stuff coming up, we'll come back to it later. Or two, he's contractually obligated not to say anything about it at all, whether or not it is or not happening. You know what I mean? Like he can just keep saying what the narrative was already, or it's true. He's like, I got like, you know, you'll see it in 10 years. You know, who me tell you, which would honestly probably be the best route given how divisive The Last Jedi still remains to be with amongst a small group of people, it seems, with a small, loud group of people.
Right.
But they still keep bringing it up.
Yeah.
So, I think giving it 10 years to marinate would be better.
Well, and when you figure, you know, what projects like this, the amount of time they take. And so if he's got other things going already, you know, you're looking like every film, at best, you're going to make one big film a year as a director, if maybe. You know what I mean? And so if he's got all this other stuff and they've got all
these Spielberg
movies already slated and all this, you know, that's just normal. And so, yeah, I mean, that's great. The more Star Wars stuff, the better. I do, well, on paper, I miss going to the theater and seeing stuff in the cinema. But I haven't been to the cinema since a Star Wars movie. And of course, to be really honest, I've barely been to the cinemas for anything but a Star Wars movie since Force Awakens came out. And, but seeing more from him would be great. I think a lot of the guy and I just think it's good all the way around.
Yeah. You know, I think it's a win. And I mean, he's obviously a brilliant storyteller. Whether or not you agree with what he came up with is irrelevant. You can't deny his skill.
Right.
And it's you may not like his story, and even Mark Hamill may not like his story. It doesn't really matter. Like, the story itself was the most overall compelling of that trilogy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, My favorite is still The Force Awakens, just because of what it means to me in several different ways. Mm-hmm. But like, it's just like The Empire Strikes Back. Like, you can't help but deny that that's the best movie out of that trilogy. Just the best well-made movie out of the trilogy. Just what it is.
Yeah.
And it raised so many questions. I don't know. I still think the ballsiest thing ever is just off in Snoke. It's just the most ballsy thing ever.
Oh yeah.
I can't get over it.
Yeah.
Still.
And you know, that leaves a tough thing too when you think about it, to leave Kylo Ren as needing to be the big bad.
Yeah.
And so, you know, unfortunately that led to Palpatine being back around and all that, but you know, what are you going to do? Right.
It makes you wonder what Ryan thought could happen after that, you know? Like he's never going to come out and say it. I don't think maybe like 20 years from now, he'll say, he's like, you know, if I would have done this pie, where I've gone, whatever, he might, but I don't think he's that kind of guy. I think he's the kind of guy like, no, I made it. And then said good luck to the next guy. You know what I mean? Yeah. But it makes you wonder because you have to, because if you're building a trilogy, there's a narrative styling going one way. So he had to have some kind of thought of what the next movie would be like, you know, in his mind. So,
you would hope, but according to the haters, he didn't. He did it on purpose to screw him and all that.
Because he hates Star Wars.
He does. He does. Yeah. Much like Rockstar hates their customers. Rockstar Games, that's the big argument online.
I guess he didn't have that super giddy moment where the Star Wars show gave him that vintage AT-AT. I guess he didn't have that because he hates Star Wars. That's the whole thing. Or he doesn't have all of the obscure books like The Jedi Way and all that shit in his house. He just hates it.
Yeah.
He hates it.
He does. Well, it may not be that he hates Star Wars. He just hates the fans.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes. Yeah.
He and Kathleen Kennedy stay up late.
I'm kind of on board with him on that one.
Yeah. He really is on to something. But no, that's super cool news, man. I'm glad. I think having talent like that attached to the franchise is a good move, and he's got a lot of opportunity to do, you know, different stuff now that we're sort of shaking it up and getting outside of the expected. That leaves the door open for a lot of cool things. But, you know, that literally is all the information that there is about it.
Well, even speaking even higher of his character is the fact that he's still willing to do it after all of the shit that's been thrown his way for the last 3 years.
Yeah. I mean, I could see where that would be like a pretty big turn off to people. Be like, nah, yeah. I think I'm okay.
I'm good. Yeah. I mean, especially after like the success of Knives Out and all that other stuff, and he's gonna make another one of those, and like I'm sure he's getting other offers and stuff once COVID hopefully starts dying down a little bit and he's able to like make movies again and shit. Like, you know, he's got projects in the works,
right?
And it's just his stars only continue to get brighter, and I think a lot of people should shut up and just be happy that he still wants to do it.
For sure, man. Really the only other thing happening in Star Wars right now is the, you know, Luke and I talked about, well, in Dallas too, about just starting to get into the dark.
Yeah.
And I'm not very much further into it now than I was last week. But I have read more of it. I do like how it's shaping up. I'm not sure I like it as much as Light of the Jedi, but I do dig it.
It feels like a much smaller story for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm maybe chapter 4 or 5. It's hard to tell in audiobooks sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, they tell you the chapter at the beginning of the chapter, but I always forget it somewhere. Anyways, but I think I agree with you that it's not, I think I like where it's going. I'm getting used to the narrator a little bit. I've realized what he sounds like. I said about last week, but he sounds like somebody that narrates like a History Channel show.
Uh huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like or like a Discovery Channel show, like where they have to like get you all amped about World War II or something. You know what I mean? like. Americans devised this crazy tank that could do this or whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
That's what his voice reminds me of now. And he does really good with the character voices themselves. It's when he's doing the narration of the actual story that I'm like, did you have to have that much hype for? And he went and got something to eat.
You know what I mean? Like the opening crawl part of every episode of the Clone Wars.
Yeah, that's why I said last week between mixed between him, but the guy did that and the Mr. DNA.
That's what he,
So like, but now that I realize he sounds more probably like the guy who narrated the Hunting Bigfoot show. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes. It'd be better if it was like Unsolved Mysteries. Then you'd have yourself something.
Oh, dude! That guy read anything, man.
Him and the attorney on Parks and Rec, the one that Mr. Saperstein's attorney. She's got a real deep voice.
Yeah, the one where Tom is trying to get him to like put like a bag of dog crap in his car or something like that.
Yeah, what would you charge me?
He's like $20,000.
Can you do something it for like $500? Yeah, that's his. He's got a great voice too.
Yeah,
but anyhow, yeah,
the story's good. The story's good. Much smaller thing going on. Did you get when in your reading? Have you heard anything about the dark side yet at all?
I don't think so.
I mean, there's not been any characters introduced or anything. They were just a mention of like feeling the dark side. No.
One thing I did notice, because you know it's a YA novel, and it's also written by Claudia Gray, is that the subject of boning has already popped up in the book. It's like, I don't remember reading anything about this in Light of the Jedi, but a girl actually says, "You're talking about sex, right?" And I'm like, yes, Claudia Gray, you know how it works.
Well, there was a hint of sexual tension in Light of the Jedi.
Yeah,
between two Jedis.
Yeah, but they
two Jedi. Yeah. Would you say Jedis there or two Jedi?
Jedi.
Two Jedi. My bad.
But you know they didn't necessarily talk. They didn't mention taking a trip to Pound Town or anything. But
no, they were doing it like in a Demolition Man in their minds, you know.
Oh my gosh. What a reference, man. Oh,
sorry. And that and the seashells.
So there, now I'm going to tell you my source for this was the Blue Harvest podcast because I was missing some of the information. But, you know, there's been like the idea that you see, and I can't remember the company that they did a lot of the porting for like getting Knights of the Old Republic over onto this platform.
Oh, yeah.
This platform. Yeah. Uh-huh. So it looks like, according to a person's sources, they're the original Knights of the Old Republic 1 and 2 are going to be available on platforms they weren't available on before.
Yeah.
And I don't know that it's going to be like an upscaled, completely redone, modern-looking graphics kind of thing or not, but that's a thing right now, okay? Now, they've been available in the Xbox store for a long time. I didn't get them because I have them what's the name of that? Steam? Yeah.
I have it on my iPad. I think I bought it for like $10.
Yeah.
7 years ago.
And but also, there's also allegedly going to be a completely new thing that's not like a remastered version of the old ones. Now, what that's going to look like, I don't know. But I do think it could be cool. I don't know that it'll be like a reboot or if it's a continuation or what. But it's something new.
Yeah, no, I mean, it could be fun too. I always forget his last name. Is Jordan Mattinson? Is that his name?
Mason?
He's on these,
Who are you talking about?
He's a guy that he has the cartoons of himself that he draws as his avatar.
Mason?
Mason. There it is. Mm-hmm. He's been mentioning stuff a lot about Old Republic stuff recently too, saying there's stuff in the works for that as well that's not necessarily a remake, but like a new story. So I don't know if that's who Blue Hawes is talking about or not. But I've never played those games all the way through because I came to them very late. I didn't play them on the original Xbox. So, and the only time I was playing it was on my iPad, and I didn't have a controller or anything. So I was like touch controls to play this game. It's a little on the wonk side.
Yeah.
But you know, I could see the appeal of it, but it's hard it's hard for me to go back to an Xbox level graphics range when I when I'm on the Series X now, you know, and all that. It's a struggle, and I don't have the nostalgia for it. Like I could go back and play Mario 64 forever. That's always going to be a game that I love to play. The graphics look weird as shit now with the new technology out there,
right?
But it's because of the nostalgia I have for it, and the gameplay is so great, and I know it's great that I'll go back to it. But because I don't have it ported on anything that's got a controller, I don't have much of a desire to play it. But if they were to come out and like do a remastered version of it, I would definitely get that. You know what I mean? Like that's something I would definitely get into.
I have it installed on my MacBook because so if you have Steam, there's only a handful of titles of the stuff I own anyway. Like I own all the Star Wars games on there that aren't the modern games that I have on console.
Yeah.
You know, they only some of them will run on a Mac.
Yeah.
Which I find weird because Steam is like the engine making it happen. You know what I mean? That's like the interface to the OS. But yeah, it's only some of them. So I have it on there, but I'm using, you know, keyboard and mouse, and that's not how I like to game. It's not that fun to me.
It's probably a key binding issue, don't you think? Because there's a few different things are different on the Mac.
But even still, like if you used a Bluetooth controller or something, it's still, you know. But regardless, it's still pretty cool. And
it also could just be Mac, because Mac, as you know, has that whole issue with Xbox, right? Like that could be a competitive between Microsoft, Apple thing. But like they told Microsoft at one time that they had to submit each one of the games on their platform one at a time to get approved before they would allow the Xbox app to be on Apple. And they were like, well, and Microsoft's like, well, that's very inconvenient for the people who want to play the game,
right?
And they're going all this other stuff, and so now they are in the beta version of their browser based version of Game Pass or whatever it is,
right?
So that's how they're going to bypass Mac and their nonsense with this. But like it's just like you can't, like you've allowed Microsoft Office on your program. Like, you know, Microsoft, your customers would appreciate if you just let them have access to their Xbox stuff on your Mac. Why would you not do it? It's a win for you. Let them do it. But anyways, it's just Apple. I love Apple and I love a lot of their products, but some of their tendencies are so weird. I can't get past it sometimes.
It is a different sort of thing. I don't pretend to understand, man. It's not my, you know, it's who am I to judge? They can do whatever they want. They're a company and I'm not. Nobody's buying my gear. Nobody's buying my products, you know.
And they're also one of the most successful companies of all time. So, I mean, it's, you know, they have this whole strategy of this is the way we do it. This is what keeps you, quote unquote, safe, whatever else, you know what I mean? With our proprietary nature of things and everything else and our standard way we handle things, this is how we keep you safe, not leaving out to the wild, wild west that is Microsoft and whatever else, like, even though you're all based off of Unix and what. Anyways, it's weird how all these things happen. I mean, there's no real need to have a competition between the two anymore. Their bases are well established. So it's just, I'm sure Microsoft, if Microsoft could find a way to just like why can't you just approve our app itself? Like the Xbox Game Pass app or whatever,
right?
And then everything else just flow through that. And I mean, at that point, if it's going through our app, it's going through us. It's not even about you anymore. So I don't know. It's just so stupid.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's, you know, it's like anything else. Why they don't have, they're never going to have Steam as an app on Xbox. because then people will be playing Steam games on their Xbox instead of buying the Xbox game.
Yeah, but Apple doesn't sell a lot of the games you can get on those things, right? Because they're not because the games themselves aren't compatible with Apple.
Right, but they hate to imagine somebody else getting money. You know,
I mean, I'm sure Microsoft would be more than willing to give them a few shekels off each sale they make. I mean, you know what I mean? Just to be on the platform. You know.
So one thing I want to say. Just if people are like, oh, video games, whoopty freaking do. So listen, there's a thing, and I saw this on the Red Dead 2 or maybe the Red Dead Online Reddit, that the graphics are so good in this, like the landscapes are breathtaking. And a guy posted, so they live in Oregon somewhere, and they have on the local news, you can send in pictures for the like out and about. And this guy's daughter, they said this is the second time that she's done it. And they can't tell. They put it on the news as, look at this beautiful scenery. And it's straight up a screen grab of the game.
That's nuts.
And it's, yeah, that to me, man, that is hilarious. But it's just a testament to like what's possible. And that's the same thing that makes the volume work.
Yeah.
That's exactly what makes that a viable deal and why it's like groundbreaking for filming anything. And yeah, I suspect that, you know, that's one of the reasons why they're able to like interact with the environment better than it would be to just be like running around with a bunch of blue stuff and trying to.
It's also just the lighting's way better too. That's overall makes it better because they're able to simulate natural light through that kind of thing.
Right. That's true too.
Know. Yeah.
Because that is one of, I am no Photoshop guy by any stretch of the imagination, but anytime I've done it, that to me is the hardest part of getting anything I drop into something else to make it look like it's in the same lighting.
Oh man, if you have two stock photos and they don't have the exact same directional lighting, I don't care. People are like, no, I can make it better. You may be able to doctor whatever to make it look like the light's coming from a different source, but you're always going to be, in my opinion, I've always noticed, you're always going to be able to tell that the lighting was from two different sources. Like you could change the temperatures to match each other, you know, and to add a little brightness or whatever like that. But right. If the shadow is underneath somebody's chin on one and the shadow's on the left side of the face on somebody else's on the left side, you're always going to have tell. There's just like, it makes no sense. You know what I mean?
Right.
But people like to think like, no, Photoshop has these features that allows like, yeah, sure. You can add a shadow that side of the person's face and whatever else. But I'm going to tell you, eventually you're going to be able to notice that something's off, and that's what it is. It's the lighting. It's not exactly the same, but I mean, and that's kind of what happens with, It kind of has that effect in The Mandalorian sometimes whenever they have like the speeders and stuff, and we always bring that up. It's not necessarily because the lighting is more of an effect. It's more of an effect working within the volume at the same time. It just it's a little off about it when the movement or something. And it's the same way with those doctored Photoshop files. You're trying to make it seem like the same lighting. It's just something's off.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah, but gosh, man, that is one thing I am just like absolutely terrible at. If suddenly my boss came to me and said, listen, we need to take over all this graphics stuff at work. Somebody died. I'd be like, well, looks like my next performance review is not going to go so great. I'll be getting fired now.
How much experience do you have with the Adobe programs?
It's all just been what I've figured out on my own. Like I'm pretty good with Premiere because editing video is much like editing audio.
Yes.
As far as like functionality goes. Now, as far as color matching and all that stuff, I don't have like the techniques and the know-how down.
Yeah. So you're not. So I imagine you're not using After Effects very much.
No, never.
Yeah,
never.
After Effects. That's a whole other beast, my dude. It's I made a moving graphic recently for something I was trying with R5D4, and it came out really well. But that little, remember that thing I mean, where it was fading from light to night, from day to night, and like the shadows are moving on, this little smoke was burning. I made all that in After Effects. That took like a good solid 2 hours, like that little thing, just like figuring out, make the smoke look like it was going, making the shadow look like it was following the sunset and all that stuff. Like, it's surprising. I mean, granted, I'm not super efficient with it, so somebody probably could do a lot quicker than I could, but it's really, really cool, the stuff you can do with that, and the fact that it just works with Premiere the way it does. That's why I've always liked Adobe so much, because everything works together. It all just flows so seamlessly together. You can go for Premiere, you can take an audition file and throw it in Premiere, no problem, and all that other stuff, and just move it around. Like, it just...
Yeah, I do like being able to just launch, edit this audio in Audition without taking it out of the timeline. That's really cool.
Anyways.
Speaking of video editing, one thing that I guess we should discuss, because it is like the biggest deal happening right now, is WandaVision. And so I, you know, on patreon.com/thebadmotivators, I said I was going to retire Strother's Family Secrets, but that was specifically because my kids were making me crazy. And I think we're going to do something different where it'll be Amanda and me most of the time.
Good
but
call.
But I don't know that, like, right. She's now awesome. Just keep the name. But we
you retired your kids, that's what you did.
Yeah, basically.
We put their jerseys up in the rafters, you know.
We talked about WandaVision up through episode 6, which was the Halloween episode. Because Amanda's thing is the MCU. She likes the MCU in a way that we like Star Wars. Not that obsessively, but you know what I'm saying.
She digs it.
If anything was her jam, that's it. And so we talked about it, and, you know, it's on Disney Plus, and the numbers it's doing are knocking on the door of how well The Mandalorian did.
Yeah.
And it's trippy as hell. There's a lot of wild video effects. The storyline is, like, really heating up and very weird, which I dig. The Cruiser, how are you getting along with the series right now?
I am really digging it. I like that they're getting closer, that they're in the era of TV that I understand better. You know, like this one was very much Malcolm in the Middle, this episode. And it was very cool. I like seeing Vision figuring it out. And for me, what I'm trying to understand, right, because we have Quicksilver in there now, right, like, it almost to me, because Wanda's making up all of this and she's possessed all these people within this bubble, it almost feels to me that Vision and Quicksilver are like two sides of her psyche. Like that she's almost like she's trying to live this fake world and be happy and whatever and have kids and have a life, and Vision is she had this whole thing around Vision figured out, and now he's kind of like understanding what's happening. But Quicksilver feels like he's thinks it's, you know, it's cool what you're doing, but like, are you okay with what you're doing at the same time?
Yeah,
like, it's
the moral conundrum of...
Yeah.
And it's weird. One of the things that makes me wonder is, because she did mention, I'm not sure how this happened.
Yeah.
You know, she's not sure. She's controlling it, but she doesn't know how it came to be. And I wonder if whoever is responsible for that is the one who sent Quicksilver.
Yeah.
And so they've got the guy who played him in the X-Men is the Quicksilver now. And yeah, did you get the gag, the kick-ass gag she made?
No, I missed it.
So when she's talking about, they're there talking, and she says, "kick-ass," like that really weird. So the guy who played Pietro on the X-Men...
Yeah, was a kick-ass, yeah.
And the guy who played him on the in the MCU in Age of Ultron was in Kick-Ass too.
Oh, they both were in Kick-Ass?
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, it was Kick-Ass and his friend.
Were those two guys? Evan Peters was in there.
Huh. Yeah, and so I think that's really funny that they, dude, yeah. I love little digs like that. I'm like, or not a dig, but you know what I'm saying. I just like, that's a cool thing to
that,
do.
But that's his name, right? Evan Peters is the actor's name from the X-Men series.
Yes, that sounds right.
Yeah. I love him as Quicksilver. I mean, I know that's not really a hot take. Like, everybody loved what he did in those X-Men movies and those crazy scenes he had and where they really focused on his ability and all the little things he was doing. And he was all in the rock and roll and everything else.
Right.
Know? And, do you think he's really there?
See, that's, you know, I want to say so, but yeah. Because like, for me, I feel like Vision is actually alive, for example, but only he can only exist right there
in the bubble.
Yeah. Now whether he was dying outside of the hex because he was outside of it and he can only live on the inside of it, or if because it was getting through it was killing him.
I wondered if it, like, I thought the same thing, but then I thought, what if it was a preventative thing that Wanda put in to keep him from leaving? You know what I mean? Like, right. If he ever figured it out, like, it was, like, something she, like, did. So, like, if he were to leave, he couldn't live, but actually, if she could let him live, you know what I mean? But she, because, like, you know, he's just and when it comes down to it, he's a piece of, what is that metal? Oh my God.
Vibranium.
When it comes down to it, he just molded vibranium over wires and everything else. So I mean, like, it's which is interesting. So she could really just, like, if he escaped, he'd become the husk again, just bring him back and bring him back up again, you know what I mean? But like, he can't actually leave her, you know what I mean? That's which is what she's trying to prevent anyways, is she can't live without him, so now she has this place where he can live. So I don't know. But the fact that he's like able to flip people's minds within there, you would think that he literally has to be there. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's, I would think so. And so that's the thing too, is Pietro there because whoever orchestrated this sent him there?
Yeah.
And so then
what about the kids?
Then he's real. Now that I wondered too. I don't know. I want to say they're real because I don't see anything else about this ending well for Wanda as far as like being happy afterward.
Can you imagine what's gonna happen if that bubble bursts and her kids aren't there? Like, God, she's gonna be like, I think it was our buddy Chris Willis that said that there's a rumor that she's supposed to be the quote unquote big bad in the Doctor Strange movie.
Right.
I heard some rumor about that or something, which I mean, I don't think she would remain a big bad, but you know what I mean?
Like, right. She's out of control, and that's the thing they have to correct.
She's having her Jean Grey moment, you know, as the Phoenix, you know, she just can't handle it anymore.
Now, something I asked Amanda whenever we did the pod the other day was, do you think the right Olsen sister was cast as a Scarlet Witch? Should it have been Mary Kate or Ashley? And then I said, well, what if, because one of the things I asked her is, what sitcom would you like to see them emulate in the episodes going forward? I said, what if it was Full House? What if it was Full House? Because, you know, when they did Fuller House on Netflix, the Olsen twins would not come back.
Oh, my God.
They would not be on the show.
I think she's got a good relationship with her sisters. I don't think she would do that.
Dude, I think it would be hilarious, though, especially if at some point she said, you got it, dude. I would die laughing. Because them not coming back on that show, I thought was pretty obnoxious.
Yeah, like we had our time with that show. It became the biggest thing in the world, and now we don't need any of you.
But like, what I would say is just throw her co-stars a bone who plainly
needed it.
Didn't, even though they didn't do, I'm sure they did okay. Like, you know, yeah. I'm sure Candace Cameron did all right with it. Yeah. Dude, they didn't do as well as you guys. And without that show, you wouldn't be where you are. Throw them a bone, man.
Yeah. Like, show up for like 4 or 5 episodes. Like,
even like, a cameo like, on one.
Yeah. Like, come out of town. Like this. But let you be the big star. Like, oh, here comes the big star. Whatever else. You never come see us anymore. You're probably going to leave tomorrow. And she does. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, something like that.
Well, because, you know, what they did with her was had it to where they were calling her on the phone. But it's not her. There's no voice. You don't hear any voice. Yeah. It's sight unseen. And to me, that's what they did. I talked about this with Amanda on the Patreon show. That's what they did with Suzanne Summers in Three's Company. Are you familiar with that show?
Yes, I don't remember this moment specifically, but I remember Three's Company. Yeah.
Well, her husband, I don't know if they're still married, but he became her agent. And they're like, you're the star of this show. So they go in and we're like, we want more money or we're out of here. And they're like,
see you later.
Don't let the door hit you on the ass. and then they were like regretting it. So they basically go back and renegotiate. And they're like, all right. So what they did is they had her move away and only had her call them to talk. And they'd put a camera in there and film her, but they did it to knock her down a peg. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, here's what you get. And I'm like, ooh, burn. That's like, that's brutal. That is
how did the show do after that?
It did all right.
Yeah.
They eventually replaced her. I'm pretty sure. Or what did they replace her before that? I can't remember how that went down, but it did okay. Yeah. Because John Ritter was the star of that show.
Yeah.
You know, he was. It was.
I mean, Suzanne Summers is great, but I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Suzanne Summers was hot. But, you know, she played the dumb hot blonde. Yeah. But the other roommate, man, I liked her. She's more down
that,
to earth.
What was that piece of equipment she did? Was it the Thigh Master?
Yeah.
Yeah. The little resistance thing between her legs. Mm-hmm. Did all those commercials and like the onesie or whatever.
Yeah. Yep. That's in a leotard.
Yeah.
Yep. That was it. That was the one, man.
Late 80s, early 90s. Yeah. Memories.
Yep. I remember being young and those infomercials, the exercise girl infomercials were the closest thing I had to like naughty books, you know. It's like, well, it's like
that in a Sears catalog with the bra section.
Yeah. Well, you remember on Step Brothers, Will Ferrell going, I'm watching the show with the lady, Denise Austin, wait first.
Anyhow. Why are you so sweaty? I was watching Cops.
So anyhow,
I know you're lying because Cops doesn't come. Sorry.
Oh my gosh, dude, what a great movie. That's one of the all-time greats, man. It really is.
I want to put my nutsack on your drum sack.
Oh, God. Speaking of nutsack, friend of the show, Rick Villanueva, shared a thing on Twitter that was the worst thing I think maybe I've ever seen. So you've heard of truck nuts. I mean, Dallas loves talking about them.
Yeah.
They make a similar thing for Crocs.
Of course they do.
That you have hanging off the back.
Yeah.
I guess because wearing the shoes.
It takes balls to wear them.
Well, I was going to say, I feel like the shoes make you a giant dick. So you got to put some balls on there too, just to wrap it all up. I don't know. But yeah, dude, that's.
I wonder if that's something that Corey would add to his Crocs. You know, he had all those charms he put on there. You think he put croc nuts on his Crocs?
I don't know. Well, you know, man, he's got a pretty cute girlfriend now, and hopefully he's sworn off the Crocs, because I could see that being a deal breaker for sure.
But
well, I'm looking forward to the rest of WandaVision. How many episodes is that thing running? Is it nine? So we got three more.
Well, the rumor is now people keep saying that, like, Olsen said at one point that the last three episodes are going to there's like 3 hours left in those. So I'm like, so does that mean each episode's gonna be an hour?
No,
but I remember a lot of fluff pieces about that too when it came to The Mandalorian. They're like, these are gonna be an hour long episodes and it never panned out. So like, it's just weird. It's weird they would go from like 25 minute for 30 minute episodes with 7 minutes of credits. What the hell's that shit about? Ugh. And then all of a sudden go to an hour, you know, which is three episodes an hour long. That's one epic freaking movie. So, I mean, it'd be cool if they did.
Yeah. Well, what it'll actually be is two episodes that are 5 minutes long and one episode that's 2 hours and 50 minutes long.
God, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Surprise Wanda movie.
I do hope that they're long. And that's one of the things I like about the medium, because they can make the show as long as it needs to be so that there's not an exact episode time of 22 minutes is how long your typical 30-minute sitcom is.
How about the commercials they make for that show?
Oh, yeah, that's great, man.
The last one was depressing. It was like the shark brought the boy stranded on the deserted island some yogurt, and he couldn't open it, and he died.
Yeah. Dude, yeah, that was so weird.
I wonder what the next one's about. But if you remember, though, there were a lot of weird 90s, like, kid-based commercials that were kind of like that.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of weird shit like that.
Yeah.
But I wonder if it's more of a depiction of Wanda's mental state, you know what I mean?
Right.
Than it is actually imitating the times. Because the animation style, the replicates the times, but I wonder if the actual what happened to him is the you know, whatever, but maybe it's like representing Vision or something, you know, something like that. But I don't know. Well, I wonder what the next commercial is going to be like.
Well, I'm hoping that the sitcoms that they hit on the way out will be Full House, Seinfeld, or Friends. I would take either one, but probably Seinfeld. And
I think it's too late for those, like, because I feel like they're going in a chronological order, and I think Malcolm Middle came out after those two shows.
Did it?
Yeah, way after.
Way after. When was it on?
Way after Full House, and well, Malcolm in the Middle ended in the 2000s.
Okay, I guess you're right. Yeah,
but there was some preview or something, and it looked a lot like Oh, it's that newer show that just ended recently with Ted Bundy and, I mean, Al Bundy in it. What's that show? And it's got he's married to the Latin lady. She's very pretty. She's got big boobs. I forget, what the hell is the freaking what's the show called? I can't remember. Can't remember what it's called. But who, what's that guy's name who played Al Bundy? It's something O'Neill.
Ed O'Neill.
Yeah. What is that show? Really quick. It is Modern Family.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So the last one, I saw a preview of one. It had that style, the Modern Family style, where they're like interviewing each one of the family members and stuff, and they're in their house and stuff.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully. Yeah. Anyway, dude, it's gonna be great. I'm super looking forward to it.
Yeah, for sure.
So, man, you got anything else you want to hit?
I'm good, man.
Well, guys, I mentioned it earlier, but be sure to check out patreon.com/thebadmotivators. We got stuff happening all over the place there, and literally all over the place. It's a pretty wild ride. There's something for everybody and some stuff for nobody, but... but yeah, it's a good time over there. Check it out. We really appreciate the support. I know we say it all the time, but seriously, it's kept the show going for sure. And check out TeePublic and Redbubble. The links are right there in the show description. And check out Cruiser and me separately streaming on Twitch. The links are right there in the show description also. And I guess follow the show on Twitter at @bad_motivators. And you can follow me on Twitter at Eric Strothers and Luke.
At Luke Cruiser.
And Dallas is at Tarkin Tangents. Sweet, man. Well, hey, I think Taylor Swift is awesome. And until next week, we are out of here.
Goodbye. Later.
The Bad Motivators!